We welcome Joan Lewis, as with her customary enthusiasm, she speaks to Tracy McClure of most recent Vatican events.
Joan, we're back in studio after 1 week of having you in here last, and lots of things have been going on, as usual, here in the Vatican. Let's start with last weekend, last Saturday and Sunday. The Pope had very special words to say about children.
He did. I really want to emphasize this because there was the 23rd International Conference of the Pontifical Council for Healthcare, and they had this meeting. Their theme was the pastoral care in the treatment of sick children. And so the Holy Father, as he always does when there is a meeting like this, met the group at the end. And he really came out with some stunning statistics. I won't go into all of them, but he really began his talk by, he said, you know, large numbers of children in vast regions of the earth, despite medical advances of today, to reduce infant mortality, much still remains to be done in this field. And, you know, I had no idea. He said, suffice it to recall that 4 million newborn infants under the age of 26 days die every year. I just had no idea. You know, I guess experts in that field would.
And, of course, they're mostly children in the real
poverty-stricken areas. Mm-hmm. They are indeed, and developing countries and so forth. But he talked about the focus of all medical activity, he said, obviously has to be for the authentic good, in this case, of the child, always considering their dignity as a human being with full rights. And then he said, this is so important, he said, children must always be cared for with love to help them face suffering and sickness even before birth. And, you know, you probably have even read and are aware of those cases where children have been operated on in the womb. I mean, have been sick and so forth. So because they are human beings, they have the dignity even if they have not yet been born. And then he talked about the Pope talked about the emotional impact of sickness and that a child must undergo in treatment, which often, of course, can be so invasive. And he said there should always be, between doctors and the family, there should be constant communication. You know, and actually anybody who's sick, but certainly a lot more a child because they feel and seem and are so vulnerable. But there's always an emotional impact on anyone who's sick. So it was a very important Congress, a very important meeting. And I think the Holy Father's speech certainly had to move a lot of people. And he said, remember that all human beings have an inherent value because created in the image of God. And he said, with how much love then must we welcome a child not yet born and already affected with sickness? So very, very important words, and I just kind of wanted to highlight that, you know, even though it was last weekend, we just didn't get a chance.
In the last program.
Yes, well, we were just recording at about the same time, but, you know, there is a cute little thing I'd like to refer to. And again, it goes back to last weekend. Since 1991, the International Diabetes Foundation and the World Health Organization have named November 14th as World Diabetes Day. And to create an awareness, I'm not sure why it's the color blue, but to create an awareness, there are 130, perhaps even more, but there's 130 monuments throughout the world in as many countries that are lit with blue lights on November 14th in the evening. And Vatican City State, for the first time since 1991, adhered to this initiative.
This year.
And Friday night, on the 14th of November, the statues of Saints Peter and Paul were lit with this phenomenally wonderful blue light. Just the statues, nothing else
around them. Above the colonnade around St. Peter's Square.
The two statues in mm-hmm. St. Peter's Square mm-hmm. on top of those huge bases as you are approaching the basilica. So I went to the square after dinner.
Because you live right around
there, don't
you?
I do indeed. And I went to the square after dinner and had my camera, which I try always to have with me, and took some great pictures and then close-ups of the statues. Anyway, so folks, if you're in Rome, next November 14th, come to St. Peter's Square, and I'm sure you'll see the same thing. But there were other events in the Vatican.
There certainly were.
Yeah.
We had, well, first of all, the Pope had a few words about traffic and drivers in his Angelus on Sunday.
He did.
Driving, road safety, basically.
I don't think anybody knows what prompted him to say that. He obviously talked, as he always does at the Angelus, he spoke about the meaning of the gospel. And then you're right, he talked about, and as again, I don't know what prompted him to say this, but he said in a closing way, he said, and in a special way, I would like to remember all those who have died as a result of traffic accidents. We pray for their eternal rest and the consolation of their families. And he said, I implore everyone, drivers, passengers, and pedestrians. And of course, we live in Italy and we know what, drivers are like, right? Whether they have
especially Rome.
Two or four wheels, exactly. And he said, please heed carefully the words of St. Paul in the Liturgy of the Word today. Stay sober and alert. Our behavior on the roads should be marked by responsibility, consideration, and a respect for others. And all I could think of as I, heard him say those words was, I wonder if he had gotten some news. I mean, this was not the National Day of Road Safety or anything that I was aware of. Had he gotten some news about, somebody that he knew or his staff knew who had died in a car accident. But anyway, good words. They always are. And to all of you Romans driving your car and listening to this message, drive, stay sober and alert.
And buckle up.
And buckle up. Yeah, sure. Right. Exactly. He forgot that.
Well, so the next day, on Monday, he received the new ambassador from Lebanon to the Holy See, Georges Coury, who presented his credentials to Pope Benedict.
The Middle East is never far from the front pages of Vatican activities and so forth. And the Holy Father said, the Holy See follows events in Lebanon very closely and pays particular attention to the efforts made to find a definitive solution to the problems facing the country. And he said the Holy See is particularly sensitive to the sufferings undergone for so long by the people, all the people, of course, of the Middle East, and continues with determination its commitment to peace and reconciliation. He said Lebanon is a treasure that has been entrusted to the Lebanese people, and he asked the international community to protect and value the country. And then I thought this was interesting. He asked that it be prevented from becoming a land in which regional and global conflicts are played out. Lebanon must be a laboratory, he said, in which to seek effective solutions to the conflicts that have so long troubled the Middle East. And, of course, we know there's different religious groups.
There are 17 different religious confessions.
Exactly.
And, of course, the country now has a new president. We saw the signing in May of the Doha Agreement,
right,
which was an attempt to give greater stability to the institutions of Lebanon. Lebanon has seen its share of very serious problems in the last few years.
And to think back in the 70s and before, Beirut was called the Paris of the East.
And also this past week, Joan, Vatican officials made some very important comments regarding euthanasia.
The Vatican did address the question of euthanasia, Cardinal Ennio Antonelli in particular, and he's president, of course, of the Pontifical Council for the Family. And at a mass for the conclusion of a congress of the Centers for Aid to Life, he made a plea, there's for what they call Italy's Terry Schiavo. I think they say Schiavo in America. There's a 37-year-old gal, Eluana Englaro, who has been in a coma for 17 years, ever since being in an accident. And the Italian Supreme Court gave her father the right to have the medical people stop nursing her, so that her feeding tubes were removed after the Supreme Court gave her. And of course, the church is saying, "Now, wait! I mean, this is the same thing. You're assisting in death. This is euthanasia." And this is being compared to the case of this Terry Schiavo in America, who died, like I think it was 2 days or so before John Paul did, in 2005. And the cardinal said, "Eloana is in a vegetative state, but she is not a vegetable. She is a person who is sleeping." And the person, even when they're sleeping or disabled, retains all of their dignity. So they're valuable in themselves, not for what they produce or consume. And he said, and boy, do I agree with this, he said, many words have been said and written about Eluana's case. The most beautiful are those spoken by the nuns who care for her. And here's what they said. If there's someone who considers her dead, let them leave Eluana to continue with us because we feel she's alive. Let us have the freedom to love and give ourselves to someone who's weak. So it's a case that, has kind of torn the country. I don't know. I can't say in half. I don't know what the percentage is of people who feel, good grief, after 17 years and, she's in a coma and hasn't produced, if you want to look at it that way. So those are the cardinal's words. We can only hope and pray that maybe a change of heart will take place.
All right, Joan, we'll have to leave it there, but thanks so much for being with us again here at Vatican Radio Studios. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week.
Okay.
All right. God bless.
Well, thanks there, as always, to Joan Lewis for sharing with us her thoughts, and a big thank you as well to Tracy McClure.